This is 30 Minutes with GSW, a weekly podcast from Benga Samu Wemimo Ministry International. May your hearts receive the engrafted Word of God and your walk deepened with the Holy Spirit as you listen.
Good morning. Glory to God for this man, this that endures forever and ever. This morning, I'll be sharing with us briefly on recovering lost time in the pursuit of vision. It is true that vision answers to time, and that sometimes the Lord will tell us to do something and we find ourselves not doing it, and then time will elapse. We will no longer have the opportunity, the room, or sometimes the ability to fulfill that vision for that time. A lot of believers, however, are very naive. When God gives somebody a vision at the age of 20, and God says to you, oh, you are 20 years old, I want you to do this thing now, and they don't do it at that time, they then get stuck. I've seen them. They will still be crying about that same vision when they are 50. As if God does not have the ability to recast new visions that will suit his purpose for their lives. But he met somebody that is almost 37, met him as a drummer in a church at Aja. Ministered on that Sunday, service was over. Guy said, they gave me two keys in a vision. I received two keys. One is for business and one is for international travels. I received the two keys. I know I received them. And 2 months later, my daddy's friend came up from Germany, and he offered to help me process my paper so that I can join him in Germany in business. But I had forgotten about that vision at the time. So I said, no, I don't want to go to Germany. Now I finished my education and I've been waiting for that opportunity to come, for somebody else to come and offer me. But God, see me at 37. I'm driving this Sienna bus within Ajato for transport business, and I drum for the church. But every time I'm asking God, don't forget your vision for me. Don't forget your vision for me. I'm looking at him. Like many Christians fall into that category. They lack the ability to redefine, to recalculate the course, the projection of vision. If you are standing at one spot and give you a catapult to shoot a bird, and the bird is standing right in front of you, like 90 degrees right in front of you, 12 o'clock in front of you, and then you shot the first stone and the bird got spooked and then flew to the right. Standing right there or moving a bit, you pick a stone, you put it in your sling, and you recalculate the course. You can still hit it. You have to then do this, the more difficult way now, because the bird will be in motion. And as it is in motion, you also have to then calculate your sight. And you would readjust, realign, and you would then shoot and hit it. You can still hit it. All you have to do is recalibrate, recalculate, re-strategize. You have to. But to sit down in that same spot and say you are waiting for that bird to come back, no, it has to be that 90 degrees. Somebody must come and meet me. The way the first person came and meet me, another person must come and meet me so that it is not going to happen. Critical thinking is important for a Christian. The ability to think, to reevaluate a situation, and then to come up with a strategy, come up with a new strategy to still fulfill that purpose. Look at David, age 17, giving the oil right in his father's house. Age 22, living in Gilboa, in the royal house of Saul. 22. By 23, David was an exile. He was already out of Israel. There was a vision given to him, but now he has to deal with so many other factors. He had to deal with foreign kings in a land where he was the enemy. He had to do the enemy of my enemy is my friend to get there. He had to fend for his people. They had to eat. They had to raid places. They had to kill people. They had to make sure that they leave no surviving witness who can go and report that they were the ones causing mayhem in the outskirts of Philistine. When they see an Israelite who has animals, they will protect him or her from marauders, and they themselves will attack marauders and take. He basically had to recalculate, and it became like what do they call that? There's a character, I'm trying to figure out his name, that will steal from the rich and give to the poor. They do a lot of movies about him. I remember that British character. It was basically the story of David. Somebody that was exiled. But did he not recalculate? Was God not still with him? We didn't sit down in the palace on the day Saul wanted to kill him and say, "My anointing will protect me. Saul cannot touch me." Will he dare do that? Or sit down in the palace and say, "No, God has made me a king in this place. I cannot, if once I leave, I will." No. He had to re-strategize. Believers must. So I asked the young man, I said, "What business, apart from the transport business, are you into any business at all?" "No, no business." I said, "Have you been inspired by God to go into any business at all?" He said, "No." "But you said you are giving the key to business." He said, "Yes." "Are you already 37?" "Yes." "And you are doing no business." He said, "There, this transport business." I said, "Oh, this one, you are doing this one just to make ends meet. This is not a business yet. This is like, oh, I just go out in the morning to drive a cab and I bring it home." It becomes a business when you calculate and you strategize and you tell yourself, "Okay, how do I make more money so that I can have five cabs, three cabs, so I can then not drive anymore but begin to control the cabs?" That's when it becomes a business. For now, it's just a job. It's not a business. Everything you gain from it, you buy fuel and you eat. That's all. So this is not a business. And so we had a talk, a long talk. I told him, "You may be thinking, if somebody will come, the person will never come. Never come. Your destiny is in your own hand. Who did they give the key to?" He said himself. I said, "Yeah, you are given the keys. So who will work out this reality?" He said, "Oh, I will work it out." I said, "Yes, you will work it out. There is no external salvation anywhere. Salvation will come from within. That is the truth." So we had that discussion. And that would be 2017, April. The next time I would see this young man, there was an award event at Oriental Hotels. I was attending the award event with some other colleagues. It's a journalist event. They do it every December. And they will invite journalists from different media houses to come where they would then give some journalist awards, best newscaster of the year, best TV station, and all those things. So I was a journalist at the time, and my station was invited. So I'll be going there with some friends. And so one of the friends said, "Oh, I've arranged for the transport that would take you down to the rental hotel." When the vehicle came, it was a Sienna. The driver was the same guy. But this time he had branded it in such a way that he started doing the business with vehicles to convey VIPs, like having what they call abroad a limo service. So he now had, by that, in 8 months, he had gotten five different Sienna buses, Sienna and other SUVs. And so he would do airport pickup and drop off. He would do hotel pickup and drop off. He had a business card made. And then these hotels, when they have people that they want to bring from the airport, they will call him. He had two other people that are working with him, and they had between them five cars. So I got into his car. We were driving. I didn't recognize him at all. He was driving. I sat beside him. I was now talking to the guys, the other journalists. We were talking. And then the guy said, "I know your voice. Yeah, but I'm being glad." I said, "Yes, I am. You know," he said, "You came to preach at our church tonight." I said, "Oh, yeah. I came to Baratemu, the talk my church. How are you?" He said, "Oh, fine. Ah, you've forgotten me. I'm the band that you met that day, the drummer that I told you God gave me two keys." I said, "Oh, what do you do now?" He said, "Oh, the keys are now working. The keys are working. You told me to recalculate, to recalibrate, to redefine, that it is within my power to do so." He said, "You are sitting in one of the," he said, "within 8 months, I sat at home and I told myself, if indeed God has given me this key, then it should work." So then the one I had that was old, that I was using to do cab within Aja, I developed an engine fault, and I had to repair it. So while it was up for repairs, I reached out to that same uncle, that same friend of my dad in Germany, and I gave him a business proposal. "Send me vehicles. I want to operate a limo service. We will be partners. I will be the operations guy. You will be the sleeping partner. I will maintain the vehicles. You will see my returns." The man sent two at first, and he began to use them. And then the man saw the cars were in good condition. The man sent the rest. Within 8 months, he had a business. Now he travels to Germany once or twice. He has been to Europe to see this man and to discuss business, and they've expanded. They began to give people vehicles. If you want to travel even outside of Lagos, now they have an operating system where you can rent their vehicle. They will give you a driver with the vehicle, and the car will take you anywhere you want to go to and bring you back. From a cab driver to a limo service operator to an international businessman, the keys God gave him at age 17, I believe, at 27. That those keys eventually worked out. It was just him that didn't allow the keys to work when he was waiting for Godot, when he was waiting that, "God, I beg you, send them, send them. I missed my opportunity for the first time." He was the one. It has always been in his hand. But you cannot give a man a key. And the man is still expecting you to come and open the door for him. Believers, especially those of us in Africa, we have this way of asking God to do everything for us as if we are helpless. We'll tell ourselves, "Oh, I will dedicate myself to work in the house of God. When I'm doing God's work, God will be doing my own work. I will wash window. I will draw. I will do this. All these faithful services, they are acceptable to God as a form of worship, but not as a pari passu exchange. Not as a pari passu exchange. God delights in our worship. He delights in our faithful service. He delights in our faithfulness. But faithfulness and faith are two different things. The things you have to do to provoke the fulfillment of vision of God for your life, they are different from the things you have to do to remain steadfast in your walk with God as a believer. So once in a while, when this young man was calling to talk to me, the last time he told me, "Oh, I'm going to Europe." I said, "No, I'm coming to Europe too. I'm coming to Europe too." But we missed each other because it was another city when I was another city. But every time he would check up on me, I would see progress. So he has also extended now to buses. He's doing a proper transport business, and he's doing it with aplomb. He has a computer system. Their cars have trackers. They have their own mechanic place where they employed certain mechanics who maintain their vehicles. Our salary is using a very good European model in Nigeria. And they have gone to Europe several times to understudy how they do things and to see about conversion of CNG, all these things. And whenever I remember a story or whenever I would send a mail or call me, I will remember how I met him. A man who had a vision in which God gave him two keys, one to business and the other to international travels. And he had the opportunity immediately to travel, but he didn't feel it was right at the time, so he didn't travel. But after that, there was silence, and he felt all was lost. And I could have just cheated him that day and lay hands on him and say, "Woo, I anoint you in the name of Jesus, the key, walk, walk." No, it wouldn't have worked. He needed counsel. He needed to understand that God does not take it back. God does not take it back, but you have now the strength, so you then have to recalculate, recalibrate. Now, for some of us who had waited for years and time is fast spent now, you didn't do what this young man did. God made you promises, God gave you a vision, but you found yourself now in your 70s. Your 70s, and you couldn't fulfill that vision. Don't take it to heaven. They don't need the fulfillment of that vision in heaven. Within the house of God, within the church, among your fellowship members, young people, you go among them. You sit, you observe them. And then the day will come, the Holy Spirit will stir your spirit. And then you will see one of them and you would hold this or a hand, or you lay your hand on the person's shoulder and you would bless the person and release this vision to this person. A lot of us also don't do that. I have seen people in their 70s trying to fulfill a vision that will require time. When the strength is known as ebbed, their children do not want. But your biological children are not the only ones that could fulfill those visions. You see, God wanted these things done. I have another friend, elderly. He wanted to have private parks all over Lagos and other states of Nigeria. It was his dream. He studied botany, horticulture, and he's into all this beautification, forget what they call them, landscaping, beautification of environment, that's his primary business. So he had worked hard, he made some money, but he couldn't find anybody that would push, so that that vision of his would become something good. He had a son who studied architecture, not a biological son, a young man at his church who he had observed. So because of what he does, and the young man, they had a lot in common to talk about, because they do building, they do landscape and all those things. So they became friends. And then one day he told the young man, he said, "You're an architect, I know. But I have this dream." He articulated the dream, the vision to the young man. He said, "I'm old now. But that's a gift I'm giving you. That's a gift I'm giving you. So that maybe you begin to have that idea too. But when you fulfill this, if you decide to take it up, and when you fulfill it, remember to just at a foot as a footnote, put my name. Let it be that you remember that this vision was not your original idea." And a few years later, that young architect began to build, come up with this nice parks in Lagos with the support of the government. He got a contract or something like that. And he honored this man. One of the gardens at Antony Village, somewhere in Antony, I've been there. And they told me the story. By this time, he is an elderly man. And I had become the young man. And so we met at Antony, we were just talking. And he was a very unassuming man. You wouldn't even know that he had seen money before, because of how he relates with people and the way he dresses. Very, very, very simple. So we were talking. And then he said, "Ah, young man, I like you. What do you do?" So we began to talk. And he said, "Come, I want to show you something." And we walked around, and I saw the way all the staff were greeting him. So you will have known immediately that this is not just a tourist or someone that is just coming to enjoy the park. And he told me this story. Of course, I told him I liked. And he said, "Oh, that I just wanted it to be documented and all that." So we talked. But then I realized that that was a wise way. If the Lord had given you, "Oh, God said, do this," but you couldn't do it, and the vision is divine, it's from God, and you desire to see it done, rather than sit down and regret and be telling yourself every day, I regret, I regret." No. Abraham got a vision from God. He pushed it as far as he could. Then one day God said, "And you will go and sleep with your fathers. You will sleep in me, and your son will continue." It's as simple as that. The same thing when you are looking at the book of Kings. You will see that the dynasty of David continued. The vision did not die with the carrier of the vision. Remember this. I told you the first one. You can reassess, you can realign, you can recalculate, you can recalibrate, you can still hit it. The second one, you can transfer this vision. You can transfer so that somebody else can run with it, somebody that is younger, somebody with strength. Moses laid hand on Joshua, transferring the vision of taking the children of Israel to the promised land to him. Because God redefined Moses' vision. God redefined his vision once. The plan was for him to go to the promised land, to go to Egypt and bring the children to Mount Sinai, where he met with God. When they got to Mount Sinai, God then said, "This is the second phase of the journey. You now take them from here to the promised land." So the vision was redefined. It fulfilled the first one. But when they had gotten too old to fulfill the second, and they had done whatever was done so that they couldn't make it, he had to transfer the vision. There is nothing wrong with that. And nowadays, people are, all the Pentecostal people, I collected the mantle of Kemehege. I collected the mantle of Eglog. I collected the mantle of Biskup. I collected. That is not, all the mantle collectors are joking. That's the truth. We all have the Holy Ghost now. We are full of the Holy Spirit. We do not need to go through the Old Testament system of collecting mantle to do anything. I've never seen anybody who collected the mantle that was able to replicate what the man with the right mantle did. I was able to even do better. But I've seen people who receive the visions of those who are before them and made it better. I've seen people receive visions and run with it, and the vision was like their own. I've seen people combine their own vision with the vision of somebody they admire and respect, who they feel, "Oh, I should honor this man by fulfilling his vision." The vision does not have that. You can always transfer. You can always articulate it. "Ah, this is what the Lord told me. I've not been able to do it. And I feel it will be of benefit for humanity, and God will be delighted in seeing it done." So if you can, and then you bless the person. In some cases, even some of the resources that will be needed to support, you even release the resources, and you ensure that that vision is done by the will and by the power of the Holy Spirit, so that your joy is full. When God gives us a purpose, we have a responsibility to discharge the assignment. We have a responsibility to do the work and ensure that that which God told us to do is fulfilled in our lives. When we see that because of time, we couldn't see it done, we behave like Joseph. We tell the children of Israel, "Make sure you don't forget my bones here. We make sure we midwife the vision. We transfer, we midwife. Whatever process we are in the call or in the will, we ensure that at the end of the day, the will of God is done." That is how to be, to carry vision in such a manner that it doesn't die. That is how to push a vision in such a manner that everyone who benefits of it or who heard about it will see it coming into fruition. That is how we don't cast away our vision or live in regret as believers, saying, "I wish I had obeyed God," or, "I wish I had listened to his instructions when he gave them to me." Please let us take note of this. Today, by the power of the Holy Spirit, I declare unto you that your vision that the Lord has given unto you is redefined, refined, and made better. I declare that the path to get there will be sharp and quick and smooth, and that the Lord himself will set your focus, that your vision will not become obsolete, that you are going to make the right decisions. And if you had forgotten anything, that the Lord himself will bring you to remembrance. I declare that the hand of the Lord is upon you. And today, in all your endeavors, you experience the fullness of the favor and the power of God. I declare that your path is already laid before you, the path that leads you from glory to glory, from grace to grace, from honor to honor, and from victory to victory. I declare that those around you will experience the fullness of God in your life. They will delight in you. They will rejoice in the God of your salvation. And in your life, they will see light. Thank you, Father, for your children all over the world as they go out today to minister in their different ministries. They experience the fullness of the power of God. They show forth your beauty. They show forth your power. Thank you, Father, for in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Let somebody shout, Glory!
Glory,
Glory to God!
glory, glory.
Glory to God. We trust you've been blessed by the Spirit-inspired words. Do come back for more episodes. You can also visit the ministry website at www.gswmi.com for more inspirational content and teachings. God bless you.